Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 21st day of July, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Stay Strong. This will probably be a solo rant. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. We do take callers at different points in the program. We ask that you keep comments and or questions as short as possible. And we also want to remind you we are in the question and answer mode. Our website is www.PastorDan, and that's all together, PastorDan.net. And at the site, of course, you will find lots of information about our history. There's reference links, there's educational links, there's health information, information about weapons and ammunition. There is a page for prisoners of war, such as Willie in Texas, Willie Martin. His nephew is a prisoner. People like that. We also have archives of past programs and a lot of news items, daily news and other significant material. So a lot of it there. I ask that you check it frequently. More and more email trouble. Gmail has been terrible for many months now, but it looks like Comcast.com has joined the ranks of censorship, artificial intelligence censorship, if that detects it. You're a truther trying to get information out to a group of people, they will automatically say that your email is unable to be sent. Of course, they don't tell you exactly why, but isn't it odd that it's about the same time that all the other censorship is going on? So they're not complete idiots, you know. They have artificial intelligence because they don't have natural intelligence. Yahweh's people have natural intelligence, not the enemy. That's why they're pushing for us, our people, to help them develop the computers and software to allow them to have artificial intelligence so that they can be fakes and frauds when the Adamic people were the ones that were given the natural ability to do the thinking, reasoning, and rational judgments. Okay? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If you're an imposter and you're having trouble discerning what's going on or being able to generate new ideas or even to keep up the current state of technology, you need artificial intelligence. And who's going to build your artificial intelligence? White guys are. White guys. You're not going to go out to India. You're not going to go to the sub-Saharan Africa. You're not going to go to the Middle East. You're not even going to go to China and Japan. You're going to go find Anglo-Saxon engineers and programmers and say, guys, would you mind developing our artificial intelligence, please? And we do it. Why? Because they put shekels in our pocket. Why did Judas betray the Christ? Well, first of all, he was not of Benjamin. He was not an Israelite. He was a Jew. That's number one. But number two, he was paid by the Sanhedrin. He was paid by the Pharisees, the Jews of the day. Our people today, why do they do what they do? Why do people go along with the scam of NASA and the whole space thing? Okay, they're being paid. Why do people go along with the false flags and the staged events like Sandy Hook? They're being paid. Isn't it odd that the families, the so-called families of the victims, all had their mortgages paid? You don't find that kind of odd? Okay, it's called bribery. Now, there's also some threats that go on there. It's take the money and be smart. Can you just picture the hook-nosed Jew sitting in the room, lawyer, probably a lawyer, from the government or whatever, sitting here with the families of the supposed Sandy Hook victims. Okay, they're sitting in the room and they're looking at them and they go, well, you know, it's going to be in your best interest to go along. Okay, because if you don't, here's what we'll do to you. However, if you go along with the crime, if you go along with the charade, it can be very lucrative for you. Not only will you not have any trouble from us, but we'll actually pay off your mortgage and we'll make sure you get a stipend every 6 months in your bank account. Of course, it'll look like an investment return or whatever, so we can hide it, but it's blood money being put into your purse. Our people are easy to buy off. They have no scruples anymore. Which gets me to the verse for today is Psalm 119, verse 30 in the World English Bible. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set your ordinances before me. What are ordinances? Okay, so it's like commandments, statutes, regulations, ordinances. They are things that the Father expects you to do. His ordinances, such as the Ten Commandments. So I have chosen the way of truth. You see how the scriptures are wonderful? Because right there in that short little seven words, I have chosen the way of truth. What's wrong in America today? That one little verse right there, half of the verse, just half of one verse, speaks volumes about why the United States is in trouble. Why are all of the Western nations in trouble? Have they chosen the way of truth, which is the Christ, by the way, the Messiah, the Anointed One, whatever name you want to go by, Yahweh when he walked the flesh on this earth in the flesh body? He is the truth, the way, and the life. We only have one Elohim God, do we not? At least that's what the commandment says. Even his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah, Yahweh came down, put on flesh to accomplish a goal and to teach and to be an example. I have chosen the way of truth. Have the white people of this world chosen the way of truth, or have they chosen the way of the satanic ones? Because it's lucrative. It puts shekels in their pocket. They don't have to worry about being blackmailed or threatened or loved ones being hurt because these people are criminals. And why do they get away with it? Because the white man's been sitting on his ass thinking somebody else is going to fix it for him. The white man has been listening to the prostitutes behind the pulpit telling him it's none of your business. Don't get involved in politics. It's dirty. Well, why is it dirty? Why is the governing of our white lands dirty? Why is it dirty? Why is it acceptable to call it dirty and then not clean it up? Somebody point that out in your Bibles to me, okay? Because when I read the word, I don't see anywhere in there where it says to compromise with evil. So you have to call in or write to me and you tell me where it says we are to sit on our asses and allow the wicked to get away with what they're doing. Somebody point it out to me, because I can't find it. Now, that doesn't mean individuals should go out there and be vigilantes, even though there are some Phineases out there, I'm sure of that. But that's a specific calling to a specific person, and that person knows that Yahweh's hand is upon them, just as Phinehas knew, just as King David knew when he went down there and was picking up those stones to fight Goliath, okay? That is a specific calling, and the person knows that it's the will of the Father. If you don't have that calling and you think you're going to go out there and be a vigilante, you're just going to become a martyr, and we'll be attending your funeral, okay? That's a fact. So get that notion out of your head. If it's in there, that special calling goes out to very, very few people. But the point of it is that we collectively, you gotta remember the Bible was written to a nation of people, which means race. Nation comes from the root Latin word meaning a race or family of people. So the Jacob-Israel portion of the white race, not the entire white race, the Jacob Israel portion of the white race. That's why so many people are frustrated when they see white people that go out there and they just flaunt Yahweh's law and do all kind of manner of paganism and violation of his laws. They're race mixing, they're drunks, they're drug addicts, etc. Well, you got to understand something. Jacob Israel was a subset of the Adamic race. Subset. When he was sent out of the area of the Chaldees, that was full of Aryans. That was full of white people. Abraham was told, and depart from your kindred, meaning those of your kind. Now, why? Well, we can ask the Father when we see him, can't we? All we know is that what happened? That's what happened, okay? And accept it. Accept the fact that not everything in white DNA bodies is of Jacob Israel. That's why some white people just don't get it. That's why when Christ was here, Yahweh in a flesh body, he said, go unto a town or a city and preach my truth. If they don't hear it, keep on moving. He didn't say stick around, waste your time trying to get dumbass white people to smarten up. They're already gone. They'll never get it. That's why the Bible is foolishness to those people. Haven't you ever met the white person? You tried to reveal something from Scripture and common sense, and they just look at you like, you're an idiot. What do I care what's in the Bible? It's a comic book. What do you mean a God? What do you mean Yahweh? That's a Jewish name. They got all kinds of excuses so that they can continue to sit on their ass, drink their beer, do their meth, and not get involved. They got all kinds. But Yahweh was talking to a specific group within his family, the Jacob Israelite people. And they became a multitude of people. Don't think that the majority of white people are in that bad category, because most of them have gone off and race mixed and everything else, so they almost don't exist anymore. But back in biblical times, there were those of Adamic and Abrahamic blood who looked a lot like us, but they didn't get the message. They didn't pick up what was being laid down. And so they went off on a tangent and they committed all kinds of sins, violation of Yahweh's law. Those that love the Father know who they are, and they know that the law is for our benefit. It's not for a detriment, it's for a benefit. It's not a heavy burden. That's why Christ said it himself, did he not? My burden is a light burden. I'm not asking much of you, is what he said. I'm just asking you to follow the rules. You know, I thought of it this morning when I woke up. I was laying on the bed and doing what I usually do in the morning and meditating and praying to the Father. And it dawned on me, you know, here's man's problem. We have this entity we call Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Creator. He created this world, okay? No, there's no doubt about that. This world was not created by man. This world was created by the Father. Man was put here. Man didn't create man. Man was created by the Father. And he gave us an instruction manual called the Scriptures. Because he built us. He knows what works for us and what does not work. And yet we choose to be like this. You go down to the dealership and you buy this beautiful Mercedes-Benz car. And you get home and you decide to take the owner's manual and burn it, because you're smarter than the people that put that Mercedes-Benz together. You're going to create your own owner's manual. So the owner's manual put there by the German engineers, it says use only high-octane fuel in this beautiful race car engine that we put in this car. It says only use this kind of oil and specific weight. And in the axles, that you only use this kind of grease and oil. And the brake pads should be such and such. And the transmission fluid should be this and that. and the transmission filter should be this. You threw it all away because you're smarter than the creators of that car. So you're going to write your own owner's manual that says, I can drink any gasoline I want. I can use any kind of lubricating oil I want, and I can change it when I feel like it. And then you wonder why your car runs like shit. Take a look around at the people in this world, especially the white race. Take a look at them and their condition. Are they running very well? Are they cars that seem to be getting along really well? The tires are lasting a long time. The joints are working good. The lubes are really good. No, they're down there at the pharmacy buying little blue pills to do what any natural man should be able to do until the day he dies. They're going to the doctor for joints. They're going to the doctor for pharmaceuticals to take care of this pain or that pain. They're going down and get new joints put into their body because they don't pay attention. Do you see the analogy here? You wonder why the Mercedes-Benz doesn't run. It's because you threw the owner's manual out, you dumbass. You got an owner's manual called the Scriptures sitting right in front of you. The Creator told you what goes in the body, what does not go in the body. What kind of thoughts to keep in your brain, what kind of thoughts not to allow in your brain. It says to guard what you put in through the eyes and what comes into the ears. Guard it. And when you're around bad visual things like on flat screens or people that are doing evil things or they're talking trashy talk, get away from them. Come out of Babylon so you do not partake of her plagues. Keep the owner's manual in the glove box that was put there by the people that made the car. And stop thinking you can write your own damn owner's manual. It doesn't work, folks. The blessings come when you admit who the Father is and that you need to comply with His instructions and not create your own. I love these so-called white people. Again, they may not be of Jacob Israel. They got the right hardware, but they don't have the right software. And I can tell. How do you tell? Well, when I walk up to a white person and I explain the food laws to them and they give me the typical, oh, that doesn't matter anymore. Or, well, I happen to like pork, pig, and sausage. That's some of my favorite food. Or, I don't like somebody telling me what I can and cannot eat. Really? Really? Let me know how that works out for you. Okay? As you lay in the hospital bed with irritable bowel problems, or ulcers in your intestines or your stomach, and they're in there cutting you open as they did my friend up in Michigan, and his entire abdominal area was pulled out of his body and laid on a table. His entire abdomen was ripped open and laid on a table. There was so much infection. It nearly cost him his life. They put it on a table so they could wash all of the pus and infection off of it before they put it back inside him. And then he was on a colostomy bag for 6 months before they would reattach his colon. That's a fact, okay? That actually happened. And he's an Israelite. He's an Israelite. But he didn't pay attention. He followed most of the food laws, but what he didn't pay attention to is the Father also tells us to heed the signs. Your body is your best defense mechanism from illness and everything else. Your body will give you warning signs. When you ignore the warning signs, you end up in the hospital with your guts on a stainless steel table next to your bed, as he did, and as other Israelites that I know. Just like I said, when your Mercedes-Benz is not running anymore and it's broke down alongside the road and you got to wait for that $200 tow to the garage and the $2,000 bill from the mechanics, ooh, now it hurts, doesn't it? But if you'd have read the damn owner's manual and put the right fuel in there and changed the oil and put a good filter on it when it told you to, you'd be cruising down the road right now. Take a look at all the white people that are in hospitals and not doing so good because they write their own owner's manuals. or as it's said in Genesis, when the serpent, which was a man, by the way, when the serpent spoke to Eve and said, you can be gods unto yourself, what do you think he was telling her? You can write your own owner's manual. You don't need to listen to that guy called Yahweh, your father. You don't need to listen to him. Write your own owner's manual. Come on, be brave. Take a walk on the wild side. It's fun. We Jews do it all the time. We mock the living God all the time. Of course, we're not going to tell you that we suffer from it. We have a lot of mental problems. We're schizophrenic. We're paranoia. Why the hell do you think Jews got into psychiatry so much? Because they could make so much money off of other Jews. They all have mental issues. Okay? Well, if you're going to walk on the wrong side of the tracks against Yahweh, yeah, you're going to have some problems, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and otherwise. That's why Christ said, my burden's a light burden. All I'm asking you to do is follow my rules. If you love me, obey me. That's what he said. So here in Psalm 119, I have chosen the way of truth. Nope. That's why Christ also said, when I return, which will be soon, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? What kind of faith, Father Yahweh? What kind of faith are you talking about? Maybe faith enough to follow the truth, do you think? Do my people even give a damn about the truth anymore? No, most of them don't. Honest answer, no, most of them don't give a damn about truth. Unless it puts money in their pocket, pays the mortgage, puts a new car in the driveway or a new boat down at the slip, they don't give a damn. Just don't give a damn. They want to be gods unto themselves. I have set your ordinances before me. That's a biblical way. That's an idiomatic biblical expression that says that if the ordinances are before you, that means you're looking at them. It's a biblical way of saying when I go forward during the day, as I go out my door, as I get out of my bed and go out my door, your ordinances are in front of me mentally. Your ordinances are what guide what I do and say throughout the day. How many white people do you know that put the ordinances of the living God in front of them as they go about their daily activities? How many do you know, honestly? How many do you know that even give a damn about the ordinances? No, they don't. That's all been done away with. My preacher, that prostitute, told me that last Sunday, that the ordinances and the laws, they've been nailed to the cross. Don't you know, Dan? I live under grace. Yeah, my Mercedes-Benz lives under grace. I don't need that damn owner's manual. I drive down the road, I'm under grace. I can stop at any gas station, put anything I want to put in that tank. I can go over to that other gas station and get an oil change. Yeah, put whatever you want in there. It doesn't matter, man. I'm under grace. Yeah, I said the sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I'm saved. Oh, I don't need that damn owner's manual. Can't you just hear the white people saying that? Yeah, I have. I've been in tons of churches. That's what they say. Well, I don't need to worry about that race mixing stuff because, you know, we're under grace, Dan, and well, when you turn the lights out, we're all the same. I said, really? That's funny. When you turn the lights out, a black person still smells to me. An Indian person still smells to me. An Oriental still smells different than I do. I don't need a light to know that. But when I touch their body, it has a different texture and a different feel to it. The spiritual connection's not there. So just again, how does when the lights go off, we're all the same work? Oh, well, Dan, we've taken care of that because we have body lotions now and we have scented body lotions and we have colognes and we have perfumes. Yeah, we kind of got around that. Oh, so again, throw your owner's manual out because I can sleep with whatever I want to sleep with. It doesn't matter that I'm going to have all kind of problems because cultures don't mix. It doesn't matter that I'm going to create a monster called a mamzer in the Hebrew, which is a race-mixed child, which is going to grow up to be a problem to the family and to society most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. You go down and look at any states most wanted lists. They're available online. Go look at the mugshots on the most violent criminals in every state and go figure out which ones are mixed breeds. When I last looked at them, over 90% of them, it was obvious that they were not pure people. They were mixed multitude. The plagues talked about in the Old Testament, the plagues that come about from violating God's law. Again, you need to go read the story of Phinehas in the book of Numbers. Go read the story of Phinehas and why he was blessed in perpetuity for what he did for Jacob Israel, the white people of that time, the white people who keep the owner's manual. See, there's a difference. Being white isn't going to save your ass. I know there's people out there telling you that, but come on, folks, put your thinking caps on. Oh, I'm a white man, and so it doesn't matter what I do, Dan. God's going to take care of me because, you know, I'm white. And, you know, he created the white race, and when he walked this earth, he walked in a white body. So I'm part of the right hardware crowd, you know. I got the rot DNA, so it doesn't matter. I can take that owner's manual and throw it the hell out. Let me know how that works out for you, dude. I got news for you. It isn't going to work out for you. So right there, one short little psalm, 119, psalm number 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set your ordinance before me. How much misery could disappear overnight if white men and women read one little verse but put it into effect? You see, that's our problem. We've got a ton of people that read their Bibles and read sermons every day of their life. But how many of them put them into effect? How many of them take the owner's manual and actually do what it says? Okay? You want to know how many? Well, I'll give you a hint. Go out in your neighborhood and how many people are taking care of their cars the way the owner's manual says. How many even read the owner's manual to their car? They spend $35,000 on a new car and don't even read the owner's manual. That's the kind of people we are. Okay? We don't even take care of something we'll spend $35,000 for, in some cases much more than that, $50,000 or $60,000. We'll spend that much money and not even crack open the owner's manual. That shows you how stupid we are. And I've had some people say, Dan, you can't call white people stupid. I'm sorry, when you buy a car and you don't know what the owner's manual says, no, I'm sorry, but you are stupid. And yeah, am I stepping on toes? Yeah, amen. I'm stepping on a lot of toes, including members of my family, some of my friends, some of the listeners to this program. I don't give a damn. Sorry. That's my father and my grandfather speaking through me there, including my heavenly father, because that's what my grandfather and my father told me as a young man. There's a reason that owner's manual's in the glove box of the car. When I bought my first car, my father questioned me on how much I knew about my car. But most parents don't give a damn today. They're too busy playing golf. They're too busy watching television. They're too busy playing computer games. They don't give a shit if their children know anything. And then they wonder why you're down there putting $1,200 of repairs in their car. If it hurts your feelings to hear that, well, I'm sorry. But some things in this world are just plain common sense. When you buy a new stereo, don't you read the manual? Most people don't. They figure they should just be able to go figure it out, and they'll punch buttons till it does what they want, but they'll be damned if they'll pick up the book and go see what they should have done. if they could have read the book, they would have known they could have walked up and hit one button and got what they wanted, but they spent 20 minutes pushing buttons and cursing at the machine because it won't do what they want. But by God, I'm not going to read that book. The enemy loves it when you won't read your instruction manual. They love it because now you'll buy their bullshit. You'll accept the teachings of the Talmud through the Jew rabbis into the seminaries coming to through that prostitute that you've got down at that whitewashed sepulcher called a church. He's just spewing the doctrines of devils. Have you heard that before? Yeah, it's in that book you don't read called the Bible, the scriptures, whatever you want to call it. It's right in there. They're teaching the doctrines of devils. What did Christ say in John chapter 8? Who's the devils? Yeah, Satan's kids. The Jews and their proselytes. Who's causing all this trouble in the world today? They go by all kinds of names. International bankers. Well, who the hell are the international bankers? Let's see. Well, you hear the name Rothschild. That's a Jew. The Pursers, which are far above the Rothschilds. Well, they're Jews. Rockefeller. Okay, well, he's Jew. J.P. Morgan. Well, there's another crypto Jew. On and on and on it goes. But because the world calls them international bankers, we're not going to look at the Jewish question. Oh, really? And you go into Washington, D.C., and who's behind all of the lunacy that's there these days? Well, Charles Schumer. I even heard Coach Dave refer to Schumer, Pelosi, and Boxer and the rest of them as white people. What? I had to make a comment on that one. What? White people? No, they're Jews. When you take somebody with that much of an IQ and a reader of the word and a liver of the word for as many years as he has, and he's calling Jews white people, haven't figured it out yet. And we wonder why we're in the trouble we're in. Jews aren't white people. Why do you think Christ said you got wolves that walk amongst you in sheep's clothing? What do you think that means? Do you think that he was talking about an animal on four legs out in the woods is actually going to go and kill a sheep and put its skin over it? Is that what you think they're talking about? If you do, well, then you're part of that Adamic race that this message is not meant for. You're never going to get it. It's obvious it's an allegory to people who are not of us. Their DNA, their thoughts, their culture, their wishes, their desires, the way they behave, they're not of us, but they put on sheep's clothing. That's a double meaning to that. Some of them look white, but are not of us. And it also means there are some of them out there that profess to be of the right DNA, but they don't have the right software. They're pretenders, like the John Hagees. Joel Osteen is a wolf, so he's not even in sheep's clothing. But the sheep are too ignorant to figure it out. He's an actual Jew pretending to be of Christ, making boatloads of money, because that's what they do. We got a lot of wolves. A lot of wolves in sheep's clothing out there. But here again, one little verse could turn the world around. But we don't do it. Same thing with 2 Chronicles 7:14, Hosea 4:6, and on it goes. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge. What that verse just said, well, did you choose the way of truth? Knowledge and truth, that word could be interpreted either way, knowledge or truth. How many? How many people put the truth before them on a daily basis? Not too many. I've had people tell me that they got trouble within their marriages and within their families because there are those that that walk with them that don't like this message. Really? That was one of my issues with Pastor Eli, believe it or not, many years ago. And I remember talking to him about it. Why are you still married to your wife? She doesn't want anything to do with this message. Your children don't want anything to do with this mess. Why are you with them? Why is anybody with people like that, being unequally yoked? You're asking for stress in your life. You're asking for drama. And you know what that's going to lead to? Okay? I just buried my kid's sister because of what it leads to. Stress and drama had a lot to do with her early passing from this world. To be honest, it had a lot to do with it. We had many discussions over the years. And I can remember many years ago on the phone telling her that if you're not careful, that job will kill you. Because that's all she talked about was the stress and the drama and how much it irritated her and angered her. Okay? Love my sister. Don't get me wrong. Love her to death. Still do. But did she listen? Did she heed the warning? No. And a lot of people don't. So I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just pointing out facts. Many of us get the warning signs and choose to walk away from them. Many of us read the scriptures and just let it go in the eyes and right out the ears, never stopping in the brain cells in between, never stopping to make a connection, never stopping to make us change what we say or do. It's of no effect. What does the scripture say? The person who claims to be converted, the person who claims to have had the experience of conversion to the Christ, if there's no works, your faith is dead. And yet the modern day church world's telling you, oh, don't worry about faith, like Kenneth Copeland and all the rest. Don't worry about it, you know. We're under grace. And yet, what did Christ say? If you don't have works to show your faith, if you don't have works to show that you belong to me, then you don't. It's as simple as that. If there is nothing tangible to show what you actually believe, then you don't really believe it. I've told the story many times on the program about the debates I used to have with my buddy Alfio from Sicily, who was Roman Catholic. He used to argue all the time. And he was typical of that. He would tell me, oh, I want to have the faith of Padre Pio and all these other people. I want this great faith. I said, really? Oh, yeah, that's the highest calling right there, to be like Padre Pio and denounce worldly gain and, you know, live a life of poverty. I said, you really, truly believe that? Oh, yeah, I really do. I said, well, I'll be at your house next weekend with my pickup truck. Well, why are you coming over? I said, because I'm going to take your stereo and that nice wall unit you've got and that nice sectional sofa in there and your turntable and your amplifier and all that stuff in your living room and in your family room. I'm taking it and put it in my truck. I'm going to take it home. Well, why in the hell would you do that, Dan? I said, because you want to live a life of Padre Pio. You said so just now. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to take all that worldly stuff that makes you less than Padre Pio so you can have a godly life. He goes, well, Dan, I'm not going to let you take my stuff. And I said, why not? Well, because it's my stuff. I want it. I said, well, then you don't believe what you just told me. You mouthed it. You spoke those words, but you don't actually believe them, because you won't put it into practice. I said, I don't want your stereo. I don't want your furniture. I just want you to see the hypocrisy of what you're saying. If you actually believed that poverty takes you and makes you more godly, you'd go out and become poor. You would give away all your earthly possessions, but you don't actually believe that. You see what I'm saying? Your works define what you actually believe. What's it say? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Something to that effect. It's a paraphrase. Where your treasure is where your heart is. What is your treasure? What is it that you hold valuable? Truth? The Father? or is it materialism? Is it shekels? The reason the United States is in the trouble it is because we got leaders that have no integrity whatsoever. They've got words that they'll tell you during their campaigns, until they're elected anyway. They've got sweet-sounding words, all of them do, including the guy sitting in the White House right now. They've got the right words. Where's their heart? What motivates them? Where are their works? Just saying. Scripture makes it very clear. The Father, when he walked this earth, he said, judge them by their fruits. What do you think that means? A good tree produces good fruit, meaning good works. A tree doesn't just plop fruit on the ground by faith. A tree has to take water and nutrients from the ground and sun from above and the energy from that sun, and it creates fruit that you can eat and seeds that will produce more trees. That takes work. Those are works. That tree has faith that the sun will come up tomorrow morning and give it energy. It has faith that it, if it brings water and nutrients up through its roots, that it will be able to produce fruit. It has faith, but that doesn't change the fact that it's got to produce the fruit. It's got to do something. What does the Bible say? Faith without works is dead. The United States is full of all kinds of people with a whole lot of faith. Not much on the works part. Unless sitting on your ass watching television you think is works. Or sitting on your ass and bitching and moaning about everything but never writing a letter, never making a comment, never joining a demonstration, never sending a donation to a frontline troop. Faith without works is dead. When Ezekiel talked about that valley of dead and dry bones, that's speaking spiritually. We'll take America, since that's where most of us are right now. America is just like that valley of dead and dry bones in Ezekiel. Our people are spiritual zombies. Look at them out there in the shopping malls. Look at them driving down the road with their faces into that electronic toilet called a smartphone. They can't even keep their eyes on the road. They're driving a 3,500-pound automobile that can kill everybody in it and that it hits, and they're paying more attention to that little device in their hand than they are driving that car. And I've even seen drivers of 18-wheel tractor trailers. Now we're talking many thousands of pounds, taking it down the highway at 65, 70 miles an hour, and they're paying attention to that little damn box in their hands instead of watching the highway. It's called stupidity, ignorance. Our whole society is drowning in ignorance. No discipline is another way of looking at it. No discipline. I entitled today Stay Strong because so many people are having trouble. I just watched a program with Jim Willey, who has been a guest on this program some time ago, but it's in the archives. Jim Willey's quite an individual. Background is Italian, but he lives in Costa Rica, and he just recently made a video during an interview where he talks about life in Costa Rica and how terrible it is. You know, a lot of Americans, the only thing they look at is the sandy beaches and the nice weather, and they think, well, I'm going to leave the United States, which is becoming extremely corrupt, and I'm going to go live in a place like Costa Rica because they speak English. Well, you need to get a hold of Jim Willey and find out what's been going on down there for him. Now, there may be some people that are living there rather peacefully, but they might be part of the crowd that Jim Willey says that Americans that come down there, and they're basically pagans. They're on the beaches, they're getting drunk every day or high or whatever, and that's all. They're just bags of bones. Well, they might be able to get along there. So the corruption that's there and the dirt and the filth won't bother them. But if you have any kind of moral character, if you're involved in trying to fix this world in any way, shape, or form, Costa Rica is going to be hell for you. Hell. Just like anywhere you go. Anywhere on this earth. Where in Scripture does it say there's a place on this earth you can go and you represent Yahweh and His truth that it's not going to be hell? Where? Where is it? Because Satan's kids, especially in this day and age, through the international bankers, they got their little fingers in everything. And if you're standing for Yahweh, you're their enemy. They're going to try to make life hell for you. So what is your defense? That's why I say stay strong. What is the defense of an Israelite in this wicked world? The only defense you have is your faith in the Father. And I'm talking about a faith that produces works. You see, we got a lot of people that have faith, but they don't have any works. And then they wonder why they have trouble. Well, wait a minute, I read the Bible. I call him by his name, Yahweh. Well, what does Scripture say? Christ says, when I come, there's going to be lots of people that say, I did this and I did that in your name, but you know what? Depart from me. I never knew you. Yeah, you got the name right, but where's your works? Where did your faith actually do anything to make a difference in this world? Where? Where is it, son? My neighbors down here know my name. That doesn't mean they're any good to me. There's a lot, the devil knows my name. The adversary knows who I am. The adversary knows the Scripture. That doesn't make him a good person. Doesn't make you a good person either. What sets apart Yahweh's people from the rest? Yahweh's people live it. They don't just teach it, they live it. Which gets to the point of health again. We're always talking about health. And I was thinking about that this morning as well. That when I went out of town for 6 weeks and we lost my sister in that struggle, I was away from my regiment, and it didn't take very long, and I was feeling the effects of that. And now it's been reversed, and now I'm feeling the effects of when you do things right. So praise Yahweh, when you do things His way, you can go off on a mission, and you will hurt, but you're not going to be overcome by it. You can get back and get back into your routine and recover. The same thing in this world. You've got problems. You need to think about what your daily routine is. And one of the things that came to my mind that you need to be really, really thinking about, every single one of you out there, is this thing called intermittent fasting. I can't tell you what a difference that makes. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't have much money, or I don't have this, I don't have that, and we don't have any of those organic stores nearby. Okay, all right. Israelites are stiff-necked and stubborn people. There ain't no doubt about that. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't cost any money to do intermittent fasting, which means that whatever food you eat, you only eat during that 8-hour window of the day. Whatever 8 hours you want to choose, it doesn't matter. But out of 24 hours, you only take in food, solid food, 8 of those hours. The other 16 hours, you let your organs rest, your stomach rest, your intestines rest, your liver rest. All the other organs get a break. Now, what is the benefit from that? No, it's not in Scripture, but in Scripture it tells you to learn, doesn't it? It tells you to pick up knowledge. It tells you to figure out what works and what doesn't work. Or as my dad used to say, you can't argue with success. Does intermittent fasting work? Yeah, you can't argue with it. It works. You may not want to do it, but you can't argue with the fact that it works. Intermittent fasting will give you more energy. It will help you maintain your correct body weight. Instead of going out for all these goofy fad diets and buying all these goofy machines and everything else, why don't you just eat during the day when you're supposed to? back in the ancient times, it wasn't so hard to do it because there wasn't readily available food 24 hours a day. So intermittent fasting was just a way of life. There were no refrigerators. There were no snack bars. There were no plastic bags full of chips. Intermittent fasting, or eating those 8 daylight hours or whatever 8 hours you want, was the natural way of life. Where do you think the word breakfast came from? That's a compound word made up of two words. What is it? Break fast. Break the fast. First meal of the day, whatever time it is. My break fast is usually around 11, 12 o'clock. Break the fast. What fast? The 16-hour fast. Do you see how simple it is? Once you see through all the muck and the mire and the lies and deceptions and Satan's kids telling you it doesn't matter, it does matter. Everything matters. It either works or it doesn't work. And if it's not working, you need to abandon it and figure out what does work. In other words, if the car isn't running right, get into the damn glove box and get the owner's manual out. It's like one time I had a lady friend that said, "Dan, what's this little red light telling me?" I looked in the car and I says, "That's your oil light." "Oh, yeah, but what's it mean?" I said, "Well, usually by the time that warning light comes on, you're at least 2 to 3 quarts low of oil. Because that light is set pretty low." "Oh, okay, but what's that mean?" "I mean, it means you need to go get oil put in the engine, unless you want to buy a new engine." In fact, that just happened to a friend of mine right here down the road. Her daughter had a brand new car. Her dad, oh, here we go again, dad bought her a new car. Why would you buy somebody that doesn't know enough to put oil in a car? Why would you buy them a car of any age, let alone a new car? She burnt the engine up in the car. Burnt the engine up. It's going to be close to $3,000 by the time they put a new engine in that car. It's a small engine. Thank God it's one of these little cars with a small engine. If it was a big old V8 like I had in my Camaro, that would be a lot more than $3,000. But why? Because they didn't take the time to know what the little red light on the dashboard was telling them. They also didn't know that it says every other fill-up, this is the old backyard mechanic common sense, every other fill-up, pull the dipstick out of your car and check the oil level. It's easy. It only takes about 2 minutes. And you can save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention the towing charge and the aggravation that you're not going to have a car for weeks while they go put a new engine in it. Okay, why? Because it's common sense. Common sense. Everything is common sense. How you live your life, do it by the scriptures. How you drive your car and operate it, by the owner's manual. Common sense. But we don't teach that anymore. We're teaching our children, don't read the owner's manual. You just do whatever feels right. Because we have insurance programs and we have government handouts. Well, that's all well and good until the money runs out, which is where we're headed, by the way. That was what Jim Willie's address to the people was that I just watched the first part. There's a 3-part series. The YouTube channel is called The Prepared Mind. The Prepared Mind. Go to YouTube, do a search for The Prepared Mind, and listen to Jim Willie's 3-part series on where we are in world events and the economy. It's not pretty, folks. It's not pretty. Bubby 1483 says, "My cousin persistently seizes his engine or transmission for the lack of putting fluid refills. His excuse, he has no time. Too hurried." Gasoline. I don't, your type, you got too many typos in there for that last part. I'm not sure what that's saying. But yeah, so right there, one of our listeners got a cousin doing the exact same thing that my neighbor friend down here, her daughter, is doing, seizing up engines simply because they don't want to take the time to check the oil level and to make sure it's got oil in it or transmission fluid in it. I mean, oh, okay, unmindfulness is folly, yes. Laziness, okay, everybody says they're too damn busy. Where? What are you too busy doing? You've got washing machines and stuff that do the job for you. All you do is put it in there and hit a button. Okay, you've got all kind of conveniences. You don't have to go get ice anywhere. You got a refrigerator that runs on Freon. You got an AC unit that keeps the house cool. You don't have to worry about opening, closing windows or turning on fans or anything. You got all the. So what the hell is so busy that you can't go out and check the oil in your car? Especially you guys. I can understand sometimes the ladies because you're not really mechanical minded. And I'm being honest again. If I'm stepping on toes, sorry, but it's true. All right, I've got tons and tons of female friends and family members, and hardly any of them are very good when it comes to auto mechanics. Almost none of them. It's just part of who we're different, okay? Accept the fact. Men and women are different. You can have all the political correctness bullshit thrown at you by these colleges and universities and morons on TV all you want. It doesn't change facts. Okay, facts are facts. Because you want to perceive facts as something different, that's your problem. That's actually a mental illness, you know that? When you can't accept reality, in other words, when you stand in front of a mirror after you take a shower and you can't tell if you're a boy or a girl, you have a mental illness. Sorry, but you do. You're mentally ill. It's obvious as the nose on your face or whatever's between your legs. What you are, boy or girl, obvious. Okay? And if you don't know the difference, then you are mentally ill. Don't know what to tell you. Common sense. But the world's continuing to go insane. But here's the good news and why we have to stay strong. As this world goes insane, guess what? The people that are living in this world are looking for answers. I'm seeing evidence of it all the time. They're actually starting to look to the scriptures. I've heard people recently talking about it that never would talk about the Bible or the scriptures or Yahweh. Years that I've known them. All of a sudden, they're starting to ask for, well, wait a minute, maybe we've gone wrong. Maybe we should look at some of these common sense things our ancestors did. You think? Maybe? Yeah, they're starting to. And I'm especially proud of many of the ladies lately are starting to get it. I didn't think that would ever happen. But I'm hearing things through different channels that tell me that the ladies are starting to wake up, that they've been lied to. This whole feminist thing, this whole anti-male thing is just the enemy trying to destroy our families and our unity. So bravo to the ladies out there that are shaking off the lies of the church and the lies of the media and Hollywood and all the rest of it, and they're starting to come back to their roots, their spiritual roots, and understand that we men are the Adam people that were put here by Father. We have a purpose. We are to be in charge. We men. That's our job. And sometimes it's a tough job, folks. I'm going to tell you, it's a tough job. If you want to be the alpha male that Yahweh expects you to be, the white alpha male and head of your family and head of society the way Yahweh intended, you've got a hell of a job today. A hell of a job, because you don't have very much support. Now, that brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, something that I just recently learned. Now, some of you know that I used to work in the nuclear power industry after I got out of the Air Force. And in the power industry, they have things they call condition reports. These are documents where if there's a problem in the plant, any kind of problem on the property, you can write a document called a condition report. These condition reports are actually legal documents. Because if you write up something on a condition report and the plant does not address that issue and somebody gets hurt or equipment goes down, somebody's going to pay. In fact, there were several groups of people fired over the last 6 months, I just found out, at where the plant I used to work at, for the very things that we're talking about right now. Either covering up or hiding conditions that should have been reported. In fact, the FBI is even looking into some of it. Okay, very serious. Now, I'm telling you this for a reason. These condition reports are very serious. Now, because in the power plants, just like in our society, we give lip service to wanting to fix problems. No different than this world in general. The politicians say they want to fix the immigration problem. No, they don't. Because if you really wanted to fix it, it'd be fixed already, okay? But they really don't. They just tell you they do, okay? Well, the same thing in the administration in the power plants, the same thing. They tell us they want safety and they want adherence, but the guys in the field know that that's lip service, that if they don't toe the line or if they tell too many problems through condition reports and their names on it, they're going to end up either not getting promotions or possibly losing their job. They know that. They know that. So recently, within the last month, an individual used what they call an anonymous condition report. So they have kiosks set up to where you can go and log in. Well, actually, you don't have to log in, because if you had to log in, it would identify you. You can go to this kiosk and generate a condition report without putting your name on it. And interestingly enough, somebody wrote a condition report against this power plant saying that the management of this major utility discriminates against straight white males. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because, one, I want us to stay strong because the message is getting out there. For somebody to go to the trouble of writing a condition report, which, again, is a legal document, this has to be addressed. And they gave all kinds of examples of where jobs and promotions and different things were given to minorities and women. And white, straight men, much more qualified, were passed over. I saw it myself all the time. It's one reason I left the industry. I couldn't stand it anymore. I'm tired of working for hypocrites and liars and for a system that's failed. Okay? So somebody has finally generated a legal document that says that the utility must look at this problem that you are discriminating against white, straight males. Hallelujah. Sign of the times. That's why I'm telling you that. There are cracks forming in this Babylonian wall. And the pressure we put on it is creating these cracks. So don't ever think for a minute that you're taking a stand for truth and honesty and integrity isn't making a difference. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And I'm saying it also because for yours truly, myself, as I said, I started this program and I never did it to make friends. I knew it was never going to make me money. And though I have a handful of supporters out there, which I say, bless your hearts, but I knew it was never going to pay the bills. So that's why I took the jobs I did and I traveled as a contractor and everything else, because this was going to be a self-paid project. And I did all that because of my commitment to the Father and to be as honest as I know how to be. That's one reason I never looked for a rich benefactor to pay for all this, because then the benefactor tells me what to say or not say. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And so I've stepped on a lot of toes over the years, a lot of toes. I've been in so many arguments with family and friends and loved ones over the years. I can't even begin to describe how many. And that's why I like Jimmy O out there, one of our faithful listeners, when he and Lane, I think, both sent me notes at different times saying that being the lead dog is a frustrating job. And that's not meaning leading in the sense that I'm better than anybody else, but if you're going to take the lead and try to set an example for our people, as stiff-necked as they are and as stubborn as they are, it's a tough job. You're going to be lonely. And that's why the Father says, I'm going to walk with you and you're going to have the Holy Spirit as a counselor. Because I'm going to tell you something, if it wasn't for the Father and the Holy Spirit, you'd go crazy a long time ago. I would have gone crazy a long time ago. But the Father keeps you lifted up, that you're not wrong. They just have to learn. And I'm saying stay strong, because recently I've been getting feedback from listeners and from people that I've known for a good long time that thought I was crazy. They liked me. They said, you're a good guy, Dan, but, you know, some of the stuff you talk about, I mean, it's like really, really out there. Yeah? Well, does that make it wrong? Well, no. Okay, recently they have come back to say, you know, a lot of that stuff you've been talking about turned out to be true. As crazy as it sounds, it turned out to be true. I'm going to tell you, why do I say stay strong? Because when one of our people say that to you, it makes all the pain and suffering worth it. It reminds me of when the baby is brought in and laid on mama's chest. I was always amazed that one of the first things that I realized was all the pain of those 9 months, all the pain of that delivery, in most cases, okay, there may be a few exceptions, but we're talking in general here, okay? In most cases, one of the first things mama says is that it was worth it. All of that suffering and all of that travail slips into the memory hole when she looks in the face of her child. What do you think Father Yahweh looks like when we come back to him? You think he might have a tear in his eye? You think he might be just a little bit emotional because one of my own has decided to turn away from this wicked world and come back to me? Can you picture that? Can you picture the prodigal son that we have become when he finally says this world is all fake and phony with false promises? Things that sound good, things that might look good but actually are bad for us, like at the grocery store with all that pretty food with the dyes and chemicals on it that's killing you. These toxic politicians with their lies and promises to do right, and all they are is criminals. The cacistocracy that governs our white nations. When you finally say, I don't want Babylon anymore, I want you, Father Yahweh. Whatever it costs me, wherever it takes me, you and you alone are worth it. Can you see him smiling from ear to ear? And yeah, probably with a tear running down his cheek. They finally get it, Father. They finally get it. Not all of them, but a growing number are finally getting it. This world is full of liars, misfits, degenerates, thieves, murderers, rapists, kidnappers, pedophiles, you name it. Sick, sick, sick sons of bitches. And they get away with it because we choose to turn away. We choose to turn a blind eye to their activities because we have a paycheck, because we're being bribed, because we're being threatened that if we tell the truth that bad things might happen to us. So the enemy gets to keep on doing it. How many children, how many women have suffered? How many men and young boys have suffered under this system because we turned a blind eye to what these bastards are doing? My prayer has always been for that Ezekiel 37 army to rise up. The white men with actual guts and grit. The warriors of our race. To have them say, enough is enough. It's time to do something about the problems in this world. Instead of looking to government to solve problems that government created, that's a form of insanity. Government is referred to as a beast in Scripture for a reason. You're asking the beast to stop tearing and rendering our people? Are we crazy? The beast isn't going to fix us. No fix that's being promised out there that doesn't include Father Yahweh and his law and our men at arms, our warriors being part of that fix. I don't see how it's going to work. Somebody needs to explain it to me. How does it work? Scripture makes it very clear, and it makes common sense, that our Creator gets the glory for the resurrection and the reset of this earth, for the jubilee that's coming. And boy, do we need it. Common sense says Father gets credit for that, not man. We created this mess by our inaction, by our laziness, by our apathy. We created it because we didn't do anything. What's the Bible say? When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. The wicked aren't going anywhere. They're lavishing it. The only time they flee is when they leave their penthouse apartments to go down and get into their 85-foot yachts and take a cruise, spending your money while they do it, with your sons and daughters as prostitutes on their boats, with your sons and daughters carrying weapons of war to kill innocent people for the name of the Jew international banker. Yeah, that's the only time they leave. They're not leaving this earth. They're not leaving their palaces. They're not leaving their banks. Because the righteous haven't taken a stand. The righteous are still helping them. These Jews and what they do rely on our acquiescence. You know that, right? They couldn't do a damn thing without us. Not a damn thing. It reminds me of a time in New Jersey working at one of the plants during a rebuild project. And I was working for an Anglo-Saxon engineer. He was a bit of an ass, but at least he knew what he was talking about. And I was writing technical procedures as part of the project. But the guy over all of us was an Indian, Asiatic Indian. And he was a smug little asshole. But it always amazed me. He was the project manager for this thing, but he didn't do any actual technical work. He actually didn't know much. He wasn't very smart at all. But he was given all the credit for all the work that we white guys were doing. The white engineers, the white technical writers, the white technicians that were out calibrating and installing all the equipment. We were doing all the work, and he was getting all the credit. But you know, the other amazing thing was that if something went wrong, you know what he did? He'd go down and point fingers at all us white guys, that we were the problem if something didn't go quite right. A lot of times it was because he made a promise that he should never have made, because if he had asked us, we'd have told him that, no, you can't do that. But he didn't. He'd go promise his bosses whatever they wanted to hear. That's why they thought he was such a great guy. He would promise them anything that they wanted. And then expect us to jump through hoops and make it happen. But you can take that scene that I actually saw, and you can replicate it throughout the United States and Europe right now. It's happening everywhere. We Anglos are the ones that go down there and roll up our sleeves and get it done, but it's the Jew and the Jew proselytes that are taking all the credit, making all the big bucks, going down and enjoying those 85-foot yachts while our guys can't even afford a new car. But that's the world you've asked for, because you support that world. And again, why? Because you believe the nonsense being told to you over the media and from the pulpits by these lying prostitute preachers that we're all the same. We all have two legs and two arms, and after all, Dan, like I told you before, when the light goes out, we're all the same. No, we're not. I've lived long enough to see it in the workplace and in society in general. We're not even close to being the same. This world is going to hell because the people who should be in charge, the white, straight males who have faith in the Father above, they're the ones who are supposed to be in charge, making the decisions, and yet they're the ones pulling the plow, turning the screwdriver, turning the wrenches, using the shovels. They're the ones down at the bottom, just like the condition report at the power plant said. That's why so many of them are leaving the industry. There's now a severe shortage of qualified people in the plants. That's why a lot of these plants are also running into a lot of trouble. It's not because it's a faulty design. It's not because they're not capable of running efficiently and safely. It's because they're being run by the least qualified. The cacistocracy is not only in the swamp of Washington, D.C., the cacistocracy is in corporate America. When are you going to decide that the Jew way of doing things is not our way? The fix is easy. The fix is easy, folks. Just get back to what the owner's manual tells us to do. Who's supposed to be driving this car? Who did Yahweh put on this earth to drive the car? The white man. When you let the white man do what Yahweh put him here to do, it's better for everybody, by the way. Because people say, well, you're only talking about a part of the white race, Dan. You want the white people to have everything and everybody else to be poor. Well, you obviously don't know us. You obviously don't know the people that I live around and that I've worked with over the years, because they'll tell you that I'm as far from that as you could imagine. Yeah, my rhetoric says that I'm very much a white supporter. Absolutely, that's my family. Why the hell wouldn't I support my family? But as the people that know me and have worked for me over the years will tell you, I never once treated anybody who was not part of my family incorrectly. I got compliments from many workers who were not white, and many workers who were female, for the fact that they were treated fairly by me. Just because I'm telling you Father's law doesn't mean I'm a hard ass or that I don't like other people. I like lots of people. I just want everybody to obey the law, that's all, so that we all can share in this world as Yahweh intended, instead of just the few that do the work of the Jew at the top. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. So there is an awakening going on, and we need to stay strong so that we can be the leaders that Yahweh said to be. We should be the remnant. You want to be part of the remnant? We've said that for the 20 years that this radio program has been on. And yeah, it didn't happen overnight, but we're watching it starting to unfold right now. I've said for 20 years, we Israelites need to become as educated as we possibly can, because the day is going to come when the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Our people are going to come to us for answers. And you'd better be able to give them answers. And answers mean truth. Right answers, not politically correct answers, the truth for a change, and nothing but the truth. John Mark made a very good video here recently, again on the topic of propertarianism. But you know, whether you're talking about libertarianism or propertarianism, they're both biblical. When you get right down to it, they're biblical. If you live and implement the biblical law, they will supply the very things that propertarians want and libertarians want. And even those folks that just plain want to be left alone. Because I've had some people say, Dan, some of the things you talk about, like your ARC community, which, by the way, has got a tremendous uplift here lately. But when you talk about your community, it sounds like a cult. Sounds like you're going to want to be like Jim Jones and all that. I said, you don't know anything about what the Bible teaches then, do you? When did Christ go down and pick somebody up and shake them and slap them around and say, you better listen to me and do exactly as I say? When did Christ do that? I want to know. When did the apostles ever do that? Christ's disciples. When did they ever do that? Last time I checked, they never did that. When did any of the prophets of old take somebody by the shoulders and shake them up and slap them across the face and say, here's what you must do? No, the men of Yahweh just simply tell you the truth. What you do about it's your business. If you want to go the way of the Jew and into the gutter, well, then go ahead. Nothing's stopping you. Christ said, I'm here as the truth, the way, and the life. What does that mean? The truth, first of all, I'm going to tell you the truth. The way, what's it the way to? The way to a better life, prosperity, health, no drama. Seeing a world that's beautiful and bright and clean and pure, that's the way. And at the end he said the life. What does that mean? It means what he's telling you will bring you life, longevity, health, well-being, life. But our people choose death, misery, destruction, slow starvation because your food isn't giving you what it should. And you're also carrying an extra 50 to 80 pounds around your waist because you can't get your nutrition eating all their junk. But they love it because they're making lots of money. Lots of money on your misery. Dan Gaiman is the pastor of the Church of Israel, and that's their website, by the way, and it's all together, churchofisrael.org. He's just written a book, Jacob Israel versus Edom Esau, and the reviews I've got on it look like it's pretty good, and I'm going to have to buy that one and read it. Also, I have access to a PDF copy of the Talmud Unmasked. So if anybody contacts me and would like an electronic copy of the Talmud Unmasked, which shows these ignorant Christians that walk around out here, these Judeo kind, that think that Jews are good people and God-fearing people and they love Christians and all that, well, just go read the Talmud Unmasked. It was written some time ago, but the principles of what it uncovered about these Talmud thumpers should wake up most anybody. Another video that I was just sent the link for is a person who works for the large corporations that are behind the installing of this 5G network, this Internet of Things, so to speak, is a whistleblower talking about the dangers of this 5G. A lot of folks that I have come in contact with in the last 6 months are on the front lines of this battle to stop the 5G installation. It's like my friend told me a long time ago, technology is not our friend. Now, can we use technology? Sure we can. You and I are talking together by modern technology that's made this possible. So technology by itself isn't necessarily evil, but what he meant was technology is not our friend because wicked people are using this technology for nefarious purposes. And that's what you have to be aware of. When the head of the FCC brags about the fact that 5G is coming to America, whether anybody likes it or not, including even watchdog agencies of the U.S. government and people, scientists for safety concerns. He's bragging about the fact that 5G is going to be implemented regardless of any issues about the safety of it. Regardless. And he's bragging about that. Your public servant. Your public servant. Basically saying you're going to accept 5G whether you like it or not. Because we want it. We. Who's the we? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Also, phone lines are open, by the way. If anybody has something to report or a comment or a question, please, now's the time to do it, because I don't have much more to cover here. Let's see. Also, I wanted to let you know, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be out of town on family business again. It's been amazing that since my sister's passing, the father has made some significant changes in my life and in the life of people around me. There's been a definite moving of his spirit. And I'm not sure how there's a correlation there. Haven't figured that part out. But it just amazes me that in such a dark, dark, dark period, as in watching my poor little sister go through what she went through, during those dark days, that Father was actually bringing about some significant changes in this world. Somehow that correlates. I just haven't figured out how yet. And so I am the weak link. I know that. I trust the Father in everything that goes on. Nothing happens in my life by accident. Nothing ever happens by accident. I may not understand it right away, but eventually I will see his fingerprints on every single thing that happens in my life. And I believe it happens that way in the life of every true believer of our Heavenly Father. And one of the things I'm going to start looking into is the issue of the lineage of Messiah. And I know what we've all been told, Levi and Judah, but there is enough information that's been given to me that is telling me I need to look a little harder at that. That there is a nefarious group that benefits from that particular version, but there is a different version that's also out there and needs to be looked at. And so I'm going to look at it. And my very first reaction, of course, was the typical one of a Jacob Israelite today, which was, oh, that's nonsense. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of something right off the bat. Who were all of the disciples of Yeshua? Every single disciple that walked with Yeshua was what? A Benjaminite. And Benjamin, of course, means son of my right hand, which is a biblical term or a Aramaic Hebrew term. Son of my right hand means son of my strength, the son of power, my right hand. Power, strength, represents me. So the tribe of Benjamin was every apostle, every of the 12. Now, Judas, of course, was not. Judas was a Jew from the neighborhood of Jerusalem. Iscariot is a man of Kariath. So Judas Iscariot is just Judas, the man of Kariath, which was a suburb of Jerusalem. He was a Jew. So he obviously was not a Benjaminite, but he died. Yahweh took his life for his betrayal. And who was he replaced with? A Benjaminite. So in the end, all 12 of the apostles that went forth to spread the news of Messiah and his teachings were of the tribe of Benjamin. And I never really thought about that before, but why did he pick all Benjaminites? So the reason I'm saying that is I look into it, I would like you to look into it, and then provide feedback so that together we might reason together and line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's the glory of Yahweh to hide a matter, and it's the honor of kings, you and I, to search out a matter. So just something to ponder. Like we don't have enough to think about these days, that we've been lied to about so many issues. Something else to ponder. Why did Messiah pick only Benjaminites? And is it possible that Messiah himself was of Joseph Benjamin? Interesting, isn't it? So anyway, a lot of things going on right now, especially in the world of finance. So I hope you're all forewarned and prepared for that. Deutsche Bank is appearing as if it is going to crash. It is the world's largest debtor bank with multiple tens of trillions of dollars tied up in these things called derivatives, which is fake, phony, and non-existent. So it does appear that financially it's time for the, as they used to say, it's time to pay the piper. Okay, the Pied Piper. Remember that nursery rhyme, the Pied Piper? Well, it's coming close to the time for the Pied Piper to be paid. Okay, we've been on this little merry-go-round living off of a gigantic credit card for a very, very long time. Americans, of course, the worst offenders, but all the white nations fell for it. The Pied Piper handing out free credit, easy credit, life was good, buying things that you couldn't afford, buying things you didn't need. So we let the beast and his children have the rule of the roost because, hey, life was good after all, right? Well, as the nursery rhyme says, there's a time, though, that you have to pay the piper. There is a reckoning, a great reckoning, that's about ready to take place. The book of Revelation talks about it, that when Babylon goes down in a very, very short period of time, it's an economic collapse. It's why the merchants are doing the weeping and the wailing. The merchants and government officials weeping and wailing as Yahweh burns Babylon to the ground. Hallelujah for that. I'm ready for it. Burn it to the ground so that out of the ashes we can build a new world and have a jubilee away from this satanic Jew fiat currency hell that we live in today. So just keep that in mind. Okay, we don't have any callers, so I'm going to go ahead and close it up for today. And thanks for everybody that stopped in. Again, a great big thank you to the folks out there that do help us out from time to time. That is much, much appreciated. To Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity, this bright, beautiful morning, to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. There is a great awakening going on. There is definitely a shaking in this earth. We do know about the tremendous heat wave that's going over the entire eastern part of the United States right now. We ask that our brethren would be very, very careful. The heat indexes are going to go anywhere from 110 to 115 in many places. So especially our older folks, Father, we would ask that you would remind them that they're not 13 and not 18 anymore. We need to be very, very careful. We need to stay hydrated. We need to stay in the shade as much as possible, especially this coming week. And there will also be some storms, quite a few storms. We need discernment right now, Father. We're living in a world that's just full of lies, so many of them that it's almost too much to take in for a lot of our people. But they need to know that. We're being lied to by most of the agencies, whether they're government, church, banking, health, medical. history, universities, liars, liars upon liars upon liars. Give us good discernment by thy Holy Spirit. Have us work together as a team. We're a family. There isn't any one of us better than the other. But as a group, as a team, as a family, we can accomplish much. So have us come together as a family with common goals that we can go forward. We also ask that your blessing would be upon the ARC project, that these new folks that I'm in touch with will actually be able to help us find a location and get a community started so that we can show what it's like to live truly 100% under your law. And no other law will apply upon that earth. And then from that one, we can replicate that community all over the United States and possibly all over the world. Let it be our little arcs as you get ready to rain down fire upon this beast system. Forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, our stumblings. Help us always to keep you and your law before us, as the scripture we read says. We also ask, Father, that you would watch over us and protect us from our multitude of enemies. And may your word go out and reach the ears it's meant to. Excuse me. We ask all this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.